Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Larry Willis. He's an all-around musician, a swinging pianist, composer, arranger, and musical director. Larry's playing is lyrical, relaxed, and best of all, fun to listen to.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Marion.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Oh, that's good to hear. I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is Maple Shade Records? That's something you were very involved with.
Yes.
I'm curious about that.
Yes. I started my involvement with Maple Shade Records, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s. And it's a wonderful combination of a lot of things. You know, not only is it a record company, it makes audiophile hardware, and it records a lot of different kinds of music, ranging from Celtic jazz to European classical music to bebop to opera, a lot of different things. And my piano teacher always used to impress upon me the need to approach music from an eclectic mindset. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I would think in order to be so busy with Maple Shade, you had to know millions of styles and different forms of music. How did you actually get started playing?
Well, I went to the High School of Music and Art here in New York City, actually as a voice major. And I had aspirations of being a classical singer, which dissipated very, very quickly once I met some young players who were high school mates of mine who were playing in Marshall Brown's Newport Youth Band.
Oh, Marshall Brown.
Yes.
I remember him.
Yes. And there were people like Jimmy Owens and Eddie Gomez in particular. And they sort of started, hearing them, I got excited about the music, first of all. And then growing up on the block that this is goes back to the days of hi-fi, my brother, who was a pianist, also was a big record collector. And he had a friend who brought over a Miles Davis record called Kind of Blue. And it changed my life forever.
Really?
Yes.
I think it changed a lot of lives.
I'm sure that it did.
And that really got you into piano playing.
Yes. And my brother, you know, there was a piano in the house all the time because my brother played.
So you really didn't have lessons. You just taught yourself.
I basically taught myself.
Listening, I guess.
Yes. Actually, until I got into Manhattan School of Music, and I met a friend who would become friends and brothers, a trumpet player from South Africa by the name of Hugh Masekela.
Oh, yes, I remember him well.
And he introduced me to a gentleman whom he met in South Africa by the name of John Mahigan.
Oh, of all people.
Yes, and that John was my first and only piano teacher.
God, I knew John for years because he would play solo piano opposite me at the Hickory House.
At the Hickory House, yes.
John was funny.
Oh, yes.
I remember I was playing one night, I was playing a ballad, and he came running through the club hollering out, "No, no, 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 it should be a flatted fifth."
Nah, that was...
in front of all the people.
Yes.
He gave me some
very, very good advice that I keep in my forefront. He said, "Larry, the piano is the most complicated piece of machinery man ever invented." And I asked him why, and he said, "Well, for starters, every time you sit down at this instrument, the odds are always 88 to 10, and they don't get any better."
Very good philosophy.
Yes, it is.
Well, how about trying out the piano and play something for us? It would be lovely to hear you.
Okay. It would be my delight. Thank you.
So, what do you think?
What about It Could Happen to You?
That's a great tune.
Yes.
Terrific.
Oh, thank you, Marianne.
It's such a nice tune.
It is a great song. Absolutely great song.
You played with some mighty fine people with Dizzy and Cannonball.
Yes.
And Carmen McRae and Carla Bley. She's really far out, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I had one of the greatest musical experiences playing with her. She's such a great composer. And when she called me to play with her, I didn't know what to expect. But she had put together quite a magnificent band with Victor Lewis and Steve Swallow. And it was just an enjoyable experience. And playing with Carla, you have to have a tremendous amount of discipline because you just can't go off on a tangent with her. She has absolute ideas about what she wants to hear. But she does not necessarily completely, certainly not completely in any sense, restrict what you're capable of doing. And it was a lot of fun. She's a very interesting composer, very interesting player, and very interesting person.
And Steve, she always had Steve Swallow.
Yes.
He worked with me, too.
Oh, what a great bassist.
And a funny guy.
And a very funny guy. And his wry sense of humor way is just incredible.
Yeah, that's one thing. Jazz has got to have humor.
It does. It does. It does.
I remember we were working together one time, and we were crossing the street, and he took my arm, and I said, thanks. He says, well, you're my meal ticket, you know.
That sounds like Steve.
Yeah. So, pretty funny.
Yes.
You worked for a long time with Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
That's right. 7 years. That was fun. For whatever one wants to call, however they choose to label that period or that style of music, I thought it was the best of it. Here again, one of the magical things about that band was its eclecticism. And it drew from so many different elements. You could hear some bebop, you could hear some Erik Satie, you hear so many different elements. And the musicianship in that band was very, very, very high for a band that had that much success on a commercial level. And I got a chance to see a lot of the world because we traveled a lot, and it was a great experience.
Well, I think that's one of the finest, I guess you have to call it, a pop group.
Yes.
I still hear it played now and again.
Yes.
You should keep playing it.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think it's time to hear you play another tune, if you could.
Okay, I would love to.
All right.
This is one of my favorite ballads. I heard Billy Eckstein sing this as a child, and it just sort of stayed with me. And it's called Everything I Have Is Yours.
Oh, yeah, that was a great hit for Billy.
Yes, it was. Well, okay. Thank you.
beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
I always love it when people end the tune sort of in a different key. It's so beautiful. You ended on an F sharp.
Yes.
And it just does something for the tune somehow.
Well, I remember Miles Davis once saying, the notes that you pick to play, the chords that you play, are there to fertilize the music.
To fertilize it?
Yes.
I love that.
He says it's like putting lemon on fish.
I never heard that.
Yes.
That's great.
And he never liked ending things on the tonic, on the one, because he felt that it absolutely stopped the music there. And in playing, ending on another chord, ending on another sound, you still had a continuum of the music going on in your ear. And I think that's a nice approach.
It is, and it's very sensible.
Yes.
And I never heard the word fertilization used before. That's that's great.
Yes.
That's great. Well, we'll have more in a minute with my guest, Larry Willis. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, what do you say we try a duet?
Absolutely.
Should we sort of talk about it, or should we wing it?
Wing it. Wing it. I like surprises.
Well, what could we play that we would both like?
Why don't we try Alone Together?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I meant to ask you while we were playing that tune, haven't you done a lot of symphonic arrangements?
Yes.
I was thinking that tune would go nicely.
Absolutely. I want to do more of that and hopefully down the line incorporate more of the material that we know. Up until now, I've done some string writing for John Hicks, for Roy Hargrove, and people like that.
Oh, that must be fun, because he's such a beautiful...
Yes, yeah. Roy did a record with strings, that I shared some of the arranging duties with Gil Goldstein and Cedar Walton, and that was a lot of fun. And hopefully one day, you know, I can do more writing in that area and incorporate more of standard jazz repertoire than just, you know, things that I write or that I, you know, that come through me. But hopefully it will improve, you know, and get, you know, it's something that I really enjoy doing.
That would be really nice. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
To play a tune. And I thought of a nice ballad that I haven't played in a long time. Too Late Now.
Oh, what a gorgeous song.
All right.
Marion, I don't know how you do it, but you get such a great sound out of the instrument. It's remarkable. You know, I've always loved to just listen to your approach to the keyboard.
Great
sound.
Thank you very much. I was thinking of you saying, fertilizing the music.
Well, I have to attribute that to Miles. He thought of that first, and it just registered very, very loudly with me.
Well, it's great. And I'm wondering if Miles ever played that tune Too Late Now. I'm trying to think where I first heard it. I think probably a singer, somebody like Peggy Lee. I don't know where I got it, but I don't know.
It's just gorgeous. So certainly, you know, the way you play it is just fantastic. And I like the change of keys.
Don't you learn tunes by ear? I mean, you don't get the sheet music, do you?
Well, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. It is my little theory that if you can't hear it, you're not going to play it well and make it come out as music. So it has to go in your ears first, even if you're sight reading it. You know, if it doesn't compute in your ear, if it doesn't sound right to you, then there's no point in playing it, because you're going to struggle, I believe, to make music out of it.
Well, I'm such a lousy reader, I pretty much have to.
I am too.
But I pretty much have to. I think I started learning tunes off the BBC years ago in England. And I had a boyfriend who came over to the house and brought records by Benny Goodman and Duke and everybody. So I just had a chance to learn all these tunes just by ear.
That's basically the way I learn songs, you know. And one of the things that has sort of bothered me, I used to like to go to the movies a lot. And there were such great songs that came out of movies. There were motion picture themes, like, for example, Laura, or On Green Dolphin Street. I don't hear that anymore. And, you know, most of the things that I hear from movies are basically no more than highfalutin sound effects or special effects.
Yes, it's
and
true.
And I miss hearing songs that come from movies. You know, one of my favorite composers, for example, is Michel Legrand. And he wrote such marvelous, and Mancini as well, wrote marvelous
tunes.
Music that came for movies that ended up sticking, you know, as great songs.
Yeah, we could do a whole afternoon
That's right.
of songs by movie songs.
Yes.
And that wouldn't be bad at all.
No.
Well, there's more music coming up with Larry Willis. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. We haven't played a blues yet, and I just thought of one. Oscar Pettiford, who, as you know, is one of the great bass players.
That's right.
He used to come in the Hickory House and sit in with me. I guess word was out that people were invited to sit in, and he used to come in quite often. And he played this blues. He's got one or two of them, but this one's called Swingin' Till the Girls Come Home.
Yes, yes.
So, should I start it off?
Yes, yes.
See where we go.
Okay. That was fun, man.
Yes, it was. Will from Blues to Duke Ellington.
Yes.
And you picked a tune that I absolutely love, that he wrote for the Queen.
Yes.
The Single Petal of a Rose. That is a beautiful tune.
It's one of the classic compositions of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, too.
Yes.
I hope she really liked it.
I hope she really liked it, too, because I certainly did.
Yes. I hope she's enough of a jazz fan to really appreciate that tune.
Well, I'm sure that she is, as erudite as...
I know I'm going to appreciate hearing you play it.
Well, thank you.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
That's one of the... It's hard to say what are the greatest tunes he wrote, but I think that's among the...
Certainly for me.
The top ones.
Yes. It's just so much to it, and it's just, you know, it's almost rebellion and in certain respects, and it just embodies so much of what he was and how he thought and what he personified. It just, it, you know, when I first heard him play it, it just blew me away, and I just, I've been tinkering around with it ever since.
Yeah, well, you play it beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
Well, there's more music in a minute with Larry Willis. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR.
Would you do me a big honor and favor? Would you play some solo piano for me?
Sure, I'd love to. Maybe I can play one of my own tunes.
I would love it.
This one's called There'll Be Other Times, and I'm lucky in as much as having had Sarah Vaughan make a recording of this.
Wow.
It was really nice.
Well, it must be such a great song, because she only touched great songs.
Yeah, I was very lucky with this one. Well, so here goes.
Okay. Thank you. Marion, that was absolutely stunning.
Oh, thank you. It's funny, I composed or improvised, whatever you want to call it, that tune at the Hickory House, and I remember I said over the microphone, gosh, it would be nice to have a lyric for this tune.
Hmm.
And a girl appeared out of nowhere and wrote a really nice lyric.
Oh, boy.
So I had something to give to Sarah Vaughan.
Well, you gave her a gem.
Well, she gave me a gift, that's for sure. Even though this is terrible, we're coming to the end, and we've only got one more tune to
play. I've been having so much fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like I said, listening to you is fun.
Oh, thank you.
What do you think about winding up with an Ellington tune?
Perfect.
Do you have one in mind?
What about I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart?
It's funny that, for some reason, that tune doesn't get played a lot.
It doesn't.
I'd love to play that.
Yes.
One, two. Thank you.
great.
Yes, yes.
We played it like we know the tune.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McParland and her guest today, Larry Willis. Join us each week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Sam Gianelli, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is ETV Radio, 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can learn more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz at our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll also find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, from Fazioli Pianos, and from the Friends of Piano Jazz. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.